Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Psalms. Chapter 142. When I realized that I was going to be preaching tonight and was going to be part of Brother Marty's day, I wrestled a little bit. And when you're a preacher, you understand that some. Sometimes you have a thought process in what you need to preach or what you think you ought to preach. But this night, I'm going to be honest with you, the Lord would not let me go of this one thought. And I'm going to be honest with you, I believe this thought fits perfectly with this day, and I'm thankful that the Lord gave it to me. Preachers, well, any preachers worth their salt come to grips quickly with the fact that they've got nothing to offer. It's got to be the Lord or it's not worth anything at all. So as I think about what we're going to talk about tonight, I was so thankful that Sister Debbie was here tonight because I wanted to hear that song. I wanted to hear that song because I want to relay to you tonight that the Lord is trying to tell you through the authority of the Word of God that there is a place. And I hope by the time we leave tonight, you'll know that there's a place for you. If you know the Lord as your Savior, you must understand that He's got a very special job for you. And along that journey, He realizes that the journey is too hard unless you have Him with you. If you're lost in Him tonight, you don't know the Lord as your Savior, understand this, He still has a place for you. He desperately desires, He died for you, He loves you, He lived for you today to accept Him as your Savior, and He'll love you, and He'll take care of you. Because there is truly, truly a place. We're going to talk about a few of them tonight. I understand that I am the only thing that stands between you and Guido's garlic potatoes. But between you and I stands a pulpit.
Amen.
And let's fill this first, and then we'll fill the bellies. Amen. If you'll stand with me, we're going to read just a few verses in Psalm 142. And then we're going to brag on the Lord a little bit, if you don't mind.
Amen.
Psalm 142, verse 1 says, I cried. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then Thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Let's pray tonight. Somebody owes me a pizza. Brother Bob, could you lead us in prayer as soon as we get the phone shut off? Go ahead, grab the phone now. I'm not going to have it interrupt the prayer. That's all right. Don't even worry about it. I'll take pepperoni and mushroom. Don't panic. It's all right. Don't lose your phone in the whole process. Just turn it off. You're all right. You got it? Oh, it's, oh well, it's all right. It happens. The best of us, it's all right. Turn that off. Thank you. All right. Now, Brother Bob, could you lead us in prayer, please?
We thank you that we can come to you, Lord, with our complaints, our supplications, and our prayers, Lord, that you're always there with us, Lord. And I pray you'll be with us tonight, Lord, as our Brother Dave brings the message that you gave, Lord. And I pray that you'll prepare our hearts for what He has for us, Lord, for what you've given them. Lord, I pray that we can apply the things we hear tonight to our lives, Lord. And I just pray you'll be with them. I'll give Him power to preach, Lord. In
Jesus'
name I pray. Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. There are a few places in our daily lives that we can find places of refuge. Refuge today seems to be very difficult. Refuge today, a hiding place, a place that you can go to get away from it all. Places that you can leave this old world behind and forget about the things of the world and just take a breath for a minute. How many would love to just take one breath for a minute if you know what I'm talking about? Just take a moment and just... Brother Marty's now retired. All of his breaths now belong to his wife. But nevertheless, I want to talk to you about a few places of refuge, and I want you to understand there's not very many that we can go. I'm so thankful that we have a God that cares about us. I'm so thankful that, yes, we can preach hard on sin, and if you hang around this church for more than two services, you're going to get your toes stepped on. But I'm also thankful that the Lord loves bruised toes. Where can we find refuge? I've got seven of them. You think, well, good Lord, we're never going to get to the potatoes. We may not. I'm just playing with you. Where are some places of refuge? I know one place I love to find refuge is in my home. I love to go home. I don't know about you, but I tell my wife often when I teach in the school all day, and I've worked many jobs in my life. I've done construction. I've moved concrete. I've been an x-ray technician. I've been in office jobs. I've been a campground manager. I've done a lot of different things in my life, and I promise you with all my heart that the 6.5 hours that I spend at Bethel Baptist Christian Academy, I come home more tired than I've ever been in my entire life. Every day. And I'm so thankful to be home. At my home, I've got a chair there. Most of the men know what I'm talking about already. I've got a recliner. The recliner, the Freimeyers have two of them. The recliner waits for me, beckoning me when I walk into the door. I'm your refuge. Please come to me. And I lay my head back in my leather recliner. Actually, I think it's leather. They said it was leather. At least pieces of leather. Might not be fully leather, but I'm a preacher. I lay my head back, and the leather's cold at first. But boy, it starts to get nice and warm, and the next thing you know, I'm sleeping until dinner. It's a place of refuge. I love to come home to my wife, waiting for me. My children, I just send them away. I love to come home to a place where my kids call me daddy. I love to come home to a place where they look up to me and for the most part listen. I love to come home to a place that's mine. I think about those things. I love to come home to a place where I truly am welcome every day. No matter how bad it gets, folks, home is where you're welcome. I'm so thankful for that. Another place I like to go, and this is number two. We're moving along kind of fast, aren't we? Don't worry, it slows down. I love to come to my church. It's my home away from home. I sleep here too. Usually when preacher's preaching, but I'm just kidding. He's over there now. Did you see that? See, I put the pulpit between us. I'm just gonna. Can I talk to you for a minute? I love to come to church. You know why I love to come to church? Because we're all the same. Oh, we've got drama, but everybody's got drama. I'm glad that I can come to a place that there's a refuge here. I'm glad that we can come to a place that we're all on the same team. I love that I can come to a place where we all pull in one direction. I can hide here. I'm glad to see the smiling faces when I walk into the building. That's why it's so very important to smile while you're here. Did you know that a discouraged person needs your smile? A discouraged person needs a place that they can call their church. It's a place where we can come not only to worship a mighty and powerful God, it's a place that we can come to be healed. I'm not talking about healing where you smack people on the head and they fall backwards. I'm talking about healing of your soul. We battle the world all day, every day. We hear about what's going on in this old God-forsaken world that we live in, and yet here we can talk to each other and love each other and care about each other. This should be a place of refuge. When you come here, don't make this a place of fighting. Don't make this a place of backbiting, of gossip, of meanness. Don't make this a place where you can't come. Make this a place where you are loved and this is home. Because I need that place. I need a place that I can hide. I need a place that when I walk through the doors, I'm in the midst of brothers and sisters. You're my brothers and sisters. If you know the Lord as your Savior, you are related to me. Isn't that great? Yes. I am that relative that you always talk about. That uncle you wish wouldn't come to Thanksgiving. I'm that man. I love to come to church. I love to hear about the Lord. I love to be under preaching and hear good singing. I love to be in a place that we love our soldiers and we care about the things of our country. I love to be in a place where we're unapologetic about what we preach and we come forward with the power and wisdom of God. I love to be in that place. It's a place where I can find refuge. There is a place. I'm glad that I have a place like my friends. A place that are good, godly friends, that we care about each other and love each other. And we all have shortcomings and we all have times that we do things that, man, we just wish we wouldn't have done. But thank God for friends that are willing to care about each other. No matter what, wouldn't it be great if the whole world was like this? But there is a place. I can go and talk to my friend Bob, and he'll be there for me. I can go and talk to Cap, and he'll be there for me. And I could sit here and name every one of your names, but understand this, I feel as though I can come to you because you are my friends, you are my family, you are my church. I'm so thankful that I have a place that I can hide. This old world we can shoulder together because it's far easier to fight a battle when we're back to back than it is when we're fighting each other front to front. I'm so thankful that I have a church family that cares enough. Brother Marty, I saw on his face today how pleased he was with his church family caring about him. He was proud of his church today. I believe that. I believe he was proud of his people that stood up for their country and loved their country. You're never going to hear out of this pulpit that our armed services aren't worth anything. I got news for you. We love our armed servicemen. Because of them, we have freedom to preach. We love our soldier. You're never going to hear any different from us. Not as long as I've got breath. And I know not as long as he's got breath. I'm so thankful I've got a place. I'm so thankful I've got a place. Number four, I got a place called my pastor. I got a place, and you need to hear this. This old world's tough. To sit there and think that you can make it every day, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how we make it every single day in this world without the things that we're talking about tonight. I don't know how I'd make it without my home. I don't know how I'd make it without my wife being at home waiting for me. I don't know how I'd make it without my children loving me and caring about me. I don't know how I'd make it without my church. I don't know how. I know you say, well, this is your job. It's not my job. It's my life. Yes. No, you need to hear that, folks. It's not my job. It's my life. Yes. I love my life. Yes. God has given me a life that I can serve him and love him. I'm so thankful for my life. Yes. It's a place that I can hide. It's a place that I can go to. There is a place. I'm so thankful for these things. I'm thankful for my preacher. He fills two roles for me. And that's hard. You may not believe this, but it's hard being a dad and a pastor. It's hard to fill a role. I'm starting to feel that role in my life where I'm trying to pastor my children and be their daddy at the same time. Preachers' kids, I'm not making excuses for them, but they live to a different standard than your kids. We look at our preacher's kids and we can't wait for them to mess up. We can't wait for them to do things that are against what we preach about. But I've got to be honest with you, how dare you? Because I'm gonna be honest, it's hard being a preacher's kid. See, when I mess up, it doesn't just affect my life. It doesn't just affect my ministry, it affects my dad. Brother Mark's a preacher's kid. He messes up, it don't just affect him, it affects his dad. Listen to me, you got to listen to me. We live in a day and age where we got to find a place where we can hide. We got to find a place where we can go. So when the waves come in and the ship starts to wreck, we've got a place where we can put anchor and wait until the storm passes. And those places that I mentioned before, they come to this pastor too. Why are we afraid to talk to our preacher about stuff? Well, my life, it's falling apart. Go to your man of God. And let me put a big fat underline under your man of God. Let me tell you that again. Let me stand on the first step and say that. You need to go to your man of God. One more time, just for good measure, you need to go to your man of God. Don't you go to some other man of God. Don't you go to somebody else's man of God. Don't you think for 1 minute you go into some other preacher because you think he's going to give you the answer that you want to hear. Sometimes we need to be told what we don't want to hear. Did your daddy ever tell you something you didn't want to hear? My dad told me that every day of my life. It's not fair, Daddy. Welcome to life, son. Too bad. So sad. Your dad. There's things throughout my life I've sought shelter in my dad. Not only my dad at home, and believe me, my dad at home is in every one of my decisions too. I'm 40 years old. I still go to that man for decision making. Why? He's older than me. He's my pastor. He's my dad. Do you think that I would make, just for instance, a significant purchase without my dad's approval? We miss out, folks. I'm not telling you to let your pastor make every one of your decisions, but I don't think his input would hurt much. It's a place that you can hide. It's a place that we don't have to face the battle alone. It's a place that we don't have to go through life without somebody helping us. It's a place that we can go to that when we need spiritual advice, the man that's been put over you to give you spiritual advice is a place you can go. It's a hiding place. This hiding place is not going to be found on a cassette tape. This hiding place is not going to be found on a DVD. This hiding place is not even going to be found at a men's conference. This place is not going to be found at a youth conference. Don't you dare let your children substitute some guy that preached to them one time for 40 minutes for their own pastor. I'll amen myself. Amen, brother. I would never let my daughter go to another man other than my preacher to have advice given to her. That's my preacher. He's a place that I can hide. He's given the watch care over my soul. He watches for my soul. Do you know what kind of gravity that holds for you? He watches for your soul. Do you think he's going to give you bad advice? Good Lord, have mercy on my... Are we here tonight? My pastor is a great hiding place. Where else can I hide? I can hide in prayer. I can hide in prayer. There's times when my prayer life is nothing more than this type of chapter, brother. I cry unto God, why, God, why, God, why? I cry unto the Lord and I walk out. And in my heart, I know that things are going rough. Anybody ever had a day like that where things were going rough? And I'm going to tell you right now, I love to just sit for a moment. You don't have to go into the woods or go find you a rock somewhere, go to a creek bed. You can just sit right where you are and just be still and know God. Amen. Just talk to him for a moment and say, Lord, I don't know why things are like they are. I've said that so many times. I hope and pray you've said that to your Lord. I don't know why. But I hope it's followed up right with the simple fact that, but you do know why. I'm not sure why things happen the way they are. I'm not sure why things come into our past. But I do know this, that God is on the throne. God has promised to take care of me. God has promised to fill my needs. God has promised to be a place that I can hide. Sometimes the places that I mentioned before just won't do it. Sometimes you can go home, but you won't find the comfort that you're seeking there. Sometimes you can go to your church and not find the comfort there. Sometimes you can talk with your friends and you're still not right there. Sometimes you can go to your pastor and your pastor may cry with you, weep with you, try to hide with you, but still, can I help you? There's still a place. There's a place called prayer. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, in the first chapter, in the first few verses, He is the God of all comfort. I want you to turn to that now. You got to see this verse. This verse is actually pretty interesting if you break it down quickly. Verse number 3 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the Bible says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of" how much comfort? It says, God of all comfort. Why does He give us comfort? And you need to hear this now, because we're going to make you a hiding place here in a moment. The God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to do what? To be a hiding place for someone else, to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. I can find a comfort in prayer. I can find a comfort by the one who's giving me comfort, by God Himself. I can find a place that I can go. Christian, I want you to be careful. I want you to be careful that you don't miss your opportunity to comfort somebody. I want you to take care that you realize and be very observant of the fact that you may be called upon to comfort somebody. You may be called upon to say, it's okay. You may be called upon to say, I've suffered with you there. I've suffered there. I know what you're going through. And God will bring you through. I would to God I'd hear that more out of Christian mouths. Instead of things like, what sin got you to that place? Tell them, I know, and you'll make it. God will bring you through. I can find a place in my home, in my church, in my Christian friends, in my preacher in prayer. Boy, I'm glad of this. I tell you where I can hide. Amen. You knew I'd stick that in somewhere, didn't you? You knew it had to be one of my points. I can hide right here. All those things we've talked about so far, even the comfort wherewith we are comforted, where do we find out about that? I can hide right here. Where's my refuge? I can find it right in here. And can I give you a little advice? I don't need Mr. Strong's in his Hebrew to tell me where I can find comfort. I don't need Mr. Strong's to give me a translation that I can easily understand. I don't speak Hebrew. In fact, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I don't speak much English. But God gave me something that I can understand. And I'm going to be honest with you, if these highfalutin intellectual types would realize that the Holy Spirit's what give them knowledge, not themselves, if they would realize that they don't need any help from these worldly lexicons, what's amazing to me is that we put more stock in Strong's than we do in the King James Bible. You trust what that says. Well, that's got to be right. That's Greek. I know a lot of wrong Greek. I know a lot of people that don't live up to God's measure. They're sinners just like you and I. Why in the world would I want to put my hiding place in the hands of a man? My hiding place is preserved by God. Have you heard that enough out of my mouth yet? Have you had it enough from the preaching yet? Because I got to be honest with you, I'm going to preach it for a long, long time. When we get up to heaven, you're going to wish you stood for the word. Because it's already settled there. Forever settled in heaven. That's where the originals are. We never saw the originals. I love that teaching. It's my favorite. In the originals. And I'll get back to the hiding place here in a minute. In the originals, the Hebrews said this. They've never seen the originals. We've never seen the originals. Until you die or get raptured, you're not going to see them. Let me explain something to you. The originals are up in heaven. They've been forever settled there. The Lord kept His hand on us to give us this. And he kept his hand on this through the Greek, the Hebrew, the Aramaic, whatever language it was in means nothing to me because I couldn't read it anyhow. It wasn't them that brought it to me. The holy men of God spake as they were moved by God. They didn't have a choice in the matter, so you think that he just left it to chance right there? That's the only place God showed up, Brother Rod, is when the first ones were penned. Then God left it all up to us humans to get it right. Do you think that sounds right, or do you think God showed up at every translation step? I think he was there. He magnifies his word above his very name, for goodness sake. If you want to have a place that you can hide, if you want to have a place that you can go, if you want to have a place that you can stay, if you want to have a place that's steadfast and sure and strong, if you want to have that place, you better believe that God can give it to you. He didn't build a house that can be taken under on sinking sand. He built us a house that was powerful and strong. And that is found in his word of God. I want to show you a few verses now. There is a place we can hide. You can hide in your home. What a great place to be, home. You can come to your church and hide from the world, and I thank God for that. Get stronger to get ready to go back out into the world. You can hide yourself in your Christian friends and influences. You can hide yourself in your own man of God. You can hide yourself in prayer and find comfort through him. You can hide yourself in your Bible. And I know this is going to sound simple to you, but you can hide yourself in God himself. Look at Deuteronomy 33. Starting in verse 26, the Bible says, "There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are everlasting arms. He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, Destroy them." He's going to give us our victory. All we have to do is trust in our refuge. He is our eternal God. What does that mean to you? That means to you he can never go away. That means to you he's never going to go away. That means to you he's never started. That means to you he's never going to have end. That means to you that he loves you enough to take care of you. That means he's a refuge. The word refuge is a place you can hide. Look at 2 Samuel 22. Verse number 1 says, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence." What do you think of your God? What do you think of your refuge? What do you think of your hiding place? Who is he to you? Is he somebody that you can trust in? Is he somebody that cares for your infirmities? Is he somebody that is there to you can hide in through all the problems that we make up the vast majority of the time? Hey, listen, I know the world ain't that great, but God knows that too. I know that we're having a tough time right now, but God knows that too. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm thankful I'm in America right now. You say, well, our country's going down. Yeah, but it's so much higher than everybody else. I'm here to tell you I'm glad to be an American. But through all of that, I'm more glad to be a Christian. I'm more glad that I can look to God as my refuge because he is a very present help. I'm so thankful that he is my shield. He is my fortress. Can you imagine a fortress of God? No. Can you imagine a fortress of God? How can an enemy get to a man that's surrounded by the fortress of God? We play with this as Christians. Well, woe is me. The whole world's closing in. No, you've got a Savior that you can run and hide in. You've got people that love you and it's your support group. Why do we walk alone? You don't have to walk alone. God loves you tonight. He cares about you tonight. I wouldn't want to be anybody but a Christian. I wouldn't want to be anybody not knowing that God is directing my steps, or at least I'm doing the best to let him. I realize I have faults. I realize I have to. Don't think to me for 1 minute that I'm a Pharisaical preacher. I'm not. I try to be as humble as possible. I'm a mess. But God loves that mess. God loves me and he desires me to come and find refuge in him. Would to God we trust in him more. Look at Psalm 9:9. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. The Lord doesn't care about me. If the Lord cared, why did this happen? If the Lord cared, why did my loved one die? If the Lord cared, why did I lose my fortune? If the Lord cared, fortune. I don't have to worry about losing that. The Lord, hey, he didn't care about me. No, Christian, he loves you. He cares about you more than you can know. Look to him and try to figure out what is God trying to show you in your life. He's a very, very good refuge. He loves your soul. He died for you. Look at Psalm 46:1. I might get a little excited here. Maybe. God is our refuge. God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. I remember getting in trouble. I'd run home and see my dad. Dad, you're going to have to help me here. I got in trouble. I punched a bully right in the nose. I had a bully. I can't remember what grade I was in, maybe third or fourth grade. Just a little guy. Always been little and husky. Husky clothes. That meant you fat kid. That's what that meant. I was in husky clothes all my life. Everybody else straight leg, but I was husky. They didn't make clothes that fit me. I had a bully named Tom Brisky. Beat me up every day. And I didn't even have a good lunch to take. Picked on me. I know that's hard for you to believe. Meets me out on the playground every day. Would punch me in the gut, never in the face because he didn't want any marks to be there. Smart kid too, little brat. Came home complaining one time to my dad. My dad says, you need to punch him in his nose. Not at BBCA. He said, you need to punch him in his nose. Hey, you punch the bully in the nose, he'll stop. And I went there on the top of the slide. This slide was 75 feet tall. It took me 7 days to get to the top. When I finally got to the top, I took off the oxygen mask for a second and said, Tom, I'm going down the slide. He looked down. You're not going down. I'm going down. You're not going down. I'm going down. He didn't get your knot out of his mouth. Your, poof, and I hit him. Everything. That was a lady with a cell phone. I hit him in his nose with everything I had. He fell 800 feet to his death. He fell off the side of the slide. It was snowing out. One of the greatest moments of my life. I don't think I've had a moment of victory like this since I've been alive. Hit him in his nose. He fell off the top of the slide on his face. He knocked out. He's laying there. Blood's coming out of his nose in the snow. It was red. I was excited. Guess what I did? I went down the slide. Yes, I did. I went down the slide. And after I got done going down the slide, day and a half later, I went over and checked out Tom. I said, hey, how you doing? He wasn't awake yet. The superintendent of the recess come out there. She says, "Hey, what happened here?" And I said, "Nothing." Tom looked up, woke up, looked up, said to Mrs. Whalen, who was the meanest lady in the whole wide world, probably still is. She's alive, I guarantee you. That woman could be 800 years old. She's still alive. She looked up at Tom, said, "What happened, Tom?" Tom says, "He punched me right here." She said, "It's about time. Let's go back in." I ran home to my dad because I knew I could find shelter there. How many times do we run home to our Heavenly Father? The Bible says, "Come boldly to the throne of grace." The Lord over and over in His Scripture says, "I know you're going to have heartache. I know you're going to have trials." He never told you wouldn't have trial. Matter of fact, He told you to get ready because they're coming. But He also told you He's going to be your refuge. Look at what this says. A very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear. Look at that now, folks. You need to see these verses. I'm all done. The garlic, Mom said the garlic mashed potatoes be done at 7. I got 30 seconds. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is a river. I'm going to tell you right now, glory to God, in the midst of your trouble, in the midst of your trial, there is a place that we can go. There's a river that we can wade into. That's the waters of Jesus Christ. And we spend all of our time worried about what's going on in this world. And I got news for you. God laughs at you. Christian, I love you tonight. That's what He's saying to you from heaven on high. I love you tonight. That's what He's saying to you in all of His power and all of His might. I love you tonight. That's what He's saying through His word to you tonight. And we don't need it to be translated to Jehovah, brother. It's Lord.
Amen.
You've got a place that you can go. And that place, my friend, is a person. And that person is Jesus Christ that loves you and died for you and is coming back someday for you. And we're someday going to see Him. Have you ever thought about that day of seeing the Almighty God, seeing your Savior as He stretches out His nail-pierced hands? Have you thought of the day when the heartache is gone? Have you thought of the day when there's no more funerals? Have you thought of the day when the tears are wiped away? Yes. Have you thought of the day when you can eternally take a breath and God gives you rest from this old world forever? There is a place that you can go. There is a place that you can hide. There's a place where you can be. That you can find your Savior and just let Him love on you a little bit. When's the last time you let your Savior tell you that He loves you? Just sit and listen. I'm not talking about an audible voice from Ernest Angley's casket. I'm talking about when is the last time that you let God tell you that He loves you. Christian, He loves you. And if you're in here tonight and you don't know the Lord is your Savior, there's a place you can go. That place is a Savior that loves you tonight and has enough room in heaven for you and anybody you'd like to bring. There's a place you can go. There's a place that will keep you out of hell. There's a place that you can go that will give you comfort and a peace that if you just come to it, if you just come to it, it'll give you a peace that'll never go away. It's a peace that passes all understanding. There's a place you can go. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
For the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whosoever meaneth me, whosoever meaneth you, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, whosoever meaneth you, don't you miss out. This preacher sweated up here today. This preacher sweated up here today to tell you that there's a place. There's a place that I've got to turn. There's a place that I've got to go. There's a place I've got to find refuge. And that place is in my Savior. And I pray by the end of this night that He's your Savior too. Because if He's your Savior, oh, that place will always be there. There is truly, truly a place. Preacher, please come.
With every head bowed and every eye closed, there is a place, and I'm glad God's provided a place for us. Let me ask you, have you taken advantage and availed yourself to that place that calls Savior, salvation, sins forgiven?
Where can I go when fears seem to grip my soul? Where can I run when someone I love has broken my heart? When no rest comes for my troubled mind, and answers are not to be found, where do I turn?
God wants that place for
what
you tonight.
What should I do?
Why don't you come?
And how do I start?
His arms are outreached from heaven tonight.
There is
you come.
A place.
You just come.
Where I can
draw
hide.
Nigh to God. He'll
when
draw nigh to you.
There are fears on every side. There is a love.
Jesus walked up that
that's
lonely road of Calvary,
pure,
bearing the cross of
my heart.
There they hung him between
and
heaven and earth.
Secure.
There he shed his blood
there is a
for my sins and for your sins.
Me peace.
And the Bible says, for the sins
and
of all the world.
Changing truths that never cease. There is a God, mighty is He.
And today God calls out, I love you.
Who knows my
I love you.
Name and walks with
you're running to all the places in the world that can't help you. Run to me. I'm the shelter from the storm. I'm your refuge. I'm your place that can give you peace and security.
What I deserve was judgment and death, but you took my place. Sometimes it seems you are far away, but that's when I've wandered from you. Still you reach out, warming my heart, bestowing your grace. There is
hallelujah.
A place.
There is a place.
Where I can hide.
Most people, they cry out, I don't know where to turn to, preacher. I don't have a place to run to. I know a place. His name is Jesus. He loves you. He died for you. He arose that third day just like He said He would. He's coming again.
And a soul secure. There is a word. brings me peace, unchanging truths that never cease. There is a God, mighty is He, who knows my name.
Just continue to play softly, Deb. We're going to close here in just 1 minute. I just want to say this, and we're going to pray. We're going to go to the fellowship. But every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. And I promise you, I won't come back to you. I won't go to you, no matter if it's a man or lady, boy or girl. But maybe you just say, "Preacher, I'll be honest with you. I'm having a lot of struggles in this world, and I feel torn on every side, and I wish I did have a place of refuge. I wish I had a place to go. I wish I had a place that I could feel at peace. Would you pray for me?" Just raise that hand. Yes. Who else? Pray for me, Pastor. Not going to come to you. Just want to pray for you. Pastor, yes, I see that hand back there. God bless you. Who else? Yes, ma'am, I see that. God bless you. Pastor, I need a place. I need a place of refuge. A place I can go to pray that God can show me that. Help me with that. I'm under so much pressure, so much stress. Yes. Heavenly Father, thank you for the message we heard tonight. And Lord, I'm glad there is a place of refuge. I'm glad there is a place to come to. And I'm glad you made it, you provided a place for us to come and a way to come.
Yes.
And an open invitation to come. And the Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." And he that thirst, let him come. And whosoever will, let him drink of the water of life freely. Father, I saw at least 4 or 5 hands go up tonight. I hold those people to you, Father. Please. Lord, they raised their hand because they said they needed a peace, a place of refuge. Mighty God, come down, be real in their life, and give them that peace that passes all understanding. And may they find refuge in you, that refuge that you that talks about in Psalms 46:1. And I pray you'll bless everyone here tonight. Again, thank you for Brother Martin and Miss Lori. Bless them and just continue to bless their lives as they go forward for you. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.